it. What? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich. What? The Cheeky Fonz and Sugar Dimes, can't quit. What? Now pop the cork and spin the Vega and get lit. What? What? What?
Okay, so I'm here with Streets, and I'm here with Dr. J, and we have three options today that we can start with. We can start with how the Giants wet the bed, how the Ravens wet the bed, or how the Niners wet the bed. I'll let y'all pick who we talk about wetting the bed first.
We can start with the Niners first.
Sure, why not? So, Colin Kaepernick gets a start after Jim Harbaugh hems and haws and goes back and forth and says, they're both my quarterback. You know, Alex Collins a starter, but Alex has started also, and yada, yada, yada. So I'll start with you, Jackson. At 10-2 with 3 minutes left, you're thinking they're going to win the game, right?
Yeah, but not exactly.
Why not?
The only reason why I would say that is because, like, one thing about being a Niners fan is, like, you just never know if you're actually going to win a game. Like, you're on the edge of your seat at every minute. That's why it's so entertaining to watch them. Great defense. However, you're on the edge of your seat until the last minute.
Who should be starting for the 49ers going forward?
Colin Kaepernick.
Why?
Because the coach and Greg Roman agrees with him being the quarterback, and that's basically what you need. I think Alex Smith has control over the huddle, but what I don't think he has is I don't think he has the support of the coaches, which is a big piece of the puzzle.
Let's say – I don't know who you guys play next week. Do you know who you guys play next week?
No.
All right. While looking up, I'll ask you this. Let's say Kaepernick wets the bed next week. Like, not because he actually played, he didn't play well in the first half, but I think it was more because, and I actually watched the game because in the cowboy move of life, I decided to start Colin Kaepernick over Carson Palmer in a game I needed to make the playoffs in my fantasy league. And literally, Jeff Fisher just blitzed all day, and it took Harbaugh like 2.5 quarters to realize, hey, they're just blitzing all the time. But let's say Kaepernick wets the bed next week. I'm talking about, like, Mark Sanchez, 10 of 21, 92 yards, 2 picks, wets the bed next week.
That's not going to happen.
I'm not saying it is going to happen. I'm saying let's say it does happen. Maybe not that. Let's just say he does not play well at all. Basically, is there any way that Harbaugh can go back to Kaepernick? I mean, to Alex Smith, or is it just Kaepernick's job to lose?
Yes and no. I think that we've seen games where they play both quarterbacks, and depending on the set. I think that if you're going to run like a short yardage play where you run the tight end kind of post outroad route, then you can throw in Alex Smith, and he does those a little bit better than Colin Kaepernick. But one thing that I will say is, like, let's back up for a second. Some of the mistakes that Colin made were, like, borderline Romo mistakes. And I'm not a big fan of Romo at all. But what he does is that when plays collapse, he has to make a decision on what he's going to do. You see somebody like RG3, he does very well when plays collapse. Colin Kaepernick doesn't. I mean, that play in the end zone made no sense. Like, what were you thinking? Like, at all. Like, think about it. Like, think about it logically. You can run out of the end zone, and you can take a sack on the 1 yard line. But, like, why do you throw the ball out of bounds? Why do you even feasibly think that you're going to get away with a grounding penalty in the end zone? That was a dumb play.
So is that on Kaepernick? Is that on the coaching staff?
That's on Kaepernick. That's what young quarterbacks do. When plays collapse, they don't know what to do. And so what I think going forward is, I think what you have to do is you have to say, all right, in these tense situations, we got to put somebody like Alex Smith in the game and let him run it. And I don't think it's a bad idea for them to have two quarterbacks. I mean, I think Harbaugh has this idea that he's going to run this sort of like college style system where we kind of plug and play the quarterback in for what play he does best. But I mean, I think Collins our guy because there's the faith in that amongst the coaching team. But if we run into trouble, there's no problem in bringing Alex Smith in. I think the best point that was made on ESPN and a lot of other sites was, hey, it's not a bad idea that you have two quarterbacks that are at the same skill level and at the same understanding of the offense. Like, you can plug and play those guys. It's not a lot of other teams that can do that. Mark Sanchez and the Jets, like, McElroy doesn't really have a handle over that offense because Sanchez has been there for a while. You know, a lot of backups don't have that command over the offense, but the Niners have that ability to do that. And while we don't want to go into a Redskins situation where we have like three quarterbacks that are rotating, it's something that we can do, and we'll see what happens.
Streets, who would you start going forward?
Eli Manning.
If y'all had Eli Manning, I wouldn't watch football. I would be real. I wouldn't watch football because that wouldn't be right. But you might as well go with Kaepernick now, because you can't go back to Alex Smith is so sick on the sidelines. It's not even funny anymore.
It's unfair.
He still has his helmet on. Like, put me in the game, coach. It's like someone told him, like, yo, you're going in next play. Be ready. You're going in next play, and he's not. Like, you're not, dog. Like, just grab the clipboard and chill, because you lost your spot. And it's messed up, but, you know, I don't think there's any way you can go back to him unless there's an injury.
Streets, let me just say one thing, and this is one thing I've been begging to say for a long time. The reason why Alex Smith has his helmet on is because he can hear the plays and hear what's going on. That's the only reason why he has his helmet on.
Why does he wear a headset?
People think he has his helmet on because he's ready to go in the game. But, like, also think about it. He has a quarterback's helmet. He's getting the plays in his ear. Rather than having the headset on, he's got his helmet on. He's there. He's dressed up. He's in shoulder pads.
The guy'd have a cell phone, yo. I'd have an earpiece in. I'm not putting on my helmet. That just makes you look like you're thirsty.
Point of reference, Peyton Manning had his helmet on the entire time last season when he wasn't playing at the Colts.
Bullshit.
What?
I'm calling bullshit.
All right, we can look it up.
Talking about even when he was standing on this? No.
No, he did not have a helmet on. He wasn't in pads.
When Peyton Manning was in pads, he had his helmet on.
You said last season, and last season at no point did he ever have on pads last season.
That's true. I'm saying the season before that, when Peyton Manning had on his pads, he had his helmet on, and that's because he wanted to listen to the plays. Like, that's how you stay in the game. I mean, if Alex Smith is going to do anything, if he wants to be a great backup, he's going to keep helping out Colin Kaepernick.
No, I agree on that. But I mean, like, even yesterday when Sanchez got benched, he put the little headset on his ear to hear all the plays. He wasn't wearing his headset, like, he wasn't wearing his helmet on, like, oh, coach going to put you back in. That, I think that's the point. But at the end of the day, I feel bad. I feel bad for Alex Smith, but I feel like part of this feels to me like Brady and Bledsoe, and like I don't think we've seen a last of Alex Smith, but at the end of the day, at some point that'll be the end of Alex Smith, I don't see Kaepernick taking the Niners all the way to the Super Bowl, but he definitely has the athletic ability and talent to do it. Because even like the end, I even remember on Twitter when Kaepernick did the pitch that went over Tekken's head. And by the way, Tekken, you're an asshole for not falling on the ball, but that's neither here nor there. And people on Twitter, including Spradley, are going, oh, Alex Smith was like, how you like me now? And they get the ball back, and then he breaks off that 50-yard run. It's like, that's where you start calling Kaepernick. Shut up. So, all right. So that's the 49ers. On to the New York Football Giants. Streets, I'll give you 2 minutes to cop, please. Go.
There's no please to cop. They're the novella of the NFL. They do this all the time. I'm not surprised at all. There's really no please to cop. They played a possession football game and didn't score more points than the Redskins. And that's not to mention the fact that I think I woke up today and there was at least 5 more penalties that were called on the Giants. While I was sleeping.
I'm glad you bring it up. Don't you think the Giants blew the game?
Oh yeah, they definitely blew the game. Like Tom Coughlin, I swear Tom Coughlin had dudes strung up and was like whipping them in the back for all those penalties because he doesn't, that's his whole thing. Like coaches have their thing. His thing is no penalties. And you can't, they've had like this season, the difference between this season and last season is when every time Manning gets the ball to make the drive, they mess it up. Someone other than Manning messes it up. Like Manning was moving. I thought our secondary was food. The Redskins secondary is certified buttered bread. Certified buttered bread. It's like that concierge bread. It's that bad. They ran I call it the rocket science play, the Victor Cruz bomb. They ran like 4 or 5 of those on them. Easy though. It came too easy. So Eli's marching down the field, gets a completion. I forget the name of the whatever. I'm still calling it RFK. RFK. RFK is silent. What is it? FedEx Field?
FedEx now? Field, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. RFK is silent, right? And he's moving down the field, 3rd and 11 or something, passes it to Martellus Bennett.
Dougie.
Holding.
Yeah.
And the minute he hit Bennett, I was like, here we go. Like, my feet is up. I'm like, oh, one point? This is over. And then we're setting it up for, like, at least a field goal. Then you get a holding, and what was it, like 3rd and 20?
It was 3rd and 10. It was 3rd and 10 that made it 3rd and 20, yep.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about that? You know, but, you know, and the thing is, I like RG3. I love what he did for the game. I like the fact that he energized this, like the Redskins or whatever. But two things. One, I didn't know RG3 died for our sins. Two, I didn't know all these Washington people were around and actually enjoyed sports.
I'm glad you... Go ahead.
Yeah, like they... Yo, I swear Redskins fans can... I know Redskins fans. So when they were talking, I said, okay. All of a sudden, Redskins Nation is alive and well. And they were going nuts like it was a playoff game. But, you know, who am I to take away their joy? I feel them on that. But where did you guys come from? And God forbid I can't say shit to them now because I think RG3 has some type of Jesus in him because he goes to the Wizards game. They beat the defending champion.
They beat the DC, Heat?
They beat the Heat. DC has the juice now. DC has the juice. I can't say nothing. So that's that.
All right. Hold on. Hold that thought about the playoffs and everything. We'll get back to that. Dr. J lives in the District of Columbia. Dr. J has made his living on I don't root for DC teams at all. So, but he lives there. So, day after, Tuesday morning, what's the town like?
I mean, the town is great. I mean, because the thing is that, you know, I don't root for DC teams, but I kind of appreciate when the team is winning because it's better. I think that this team really believes in RG3. I think that one of the things that's going to be alarming, and if you guys are ever watching a game, watch how DC fans react to bad plays. They blame everything on everyone but RG3. All the drop passes are RG3. Like, oh, it couldn't have been because he just gunned it in there on a 5-yard pass. It has to be because, you know, Chris Cooley dropped the pass. They're happy that they beat the Giants, but the Giants are who we thought they were. you can't live and die on the fourth quarter and thinking that Eli's going to come back. If you want to be a championship team and you want to be a dominant team, you've got to win all four quarters of the game. The Giants have lucked out, and they've got great fans who don't want to believe that, but they've lucked out about two times in the last, 5 years, and they've won some Super Bowls, but come on.
they just won some Super Bowls.
I mean, they won two Super Bowls, but in both of those years that they won the Super Bowls, they won a dominant team. Sooner or later, the Giants have to step up and be a dominant team. Let's be honest. When Bill Parcells was there and you won your two championships, you were a dominant team. Now, it's like, all right, we go 8-8, we get in the playoffs, and then, you know, we take advantage of a lot of things. What I will say about the penalties, is that's tragic. That's part of the game. That's like saying, like, oh, well, if Amar Bradshaw is hurt, then, you know, that changes everything. Well, you know, that's a part of the game. You can control that.
Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
2007, Giants get in the playoffs, destroy Tampa Bay, destroy Dallas, beat Green Bay in overtime.
I didn't destroy Dallas.
Destroy Tampa Bay, beat Dallas, beat Brett Favre in Lambeau Field, beat the 18-0 Patriots. 2010. 11. It's
2011.
Weird. The cesspool scores 2 points that Eli Manning gave them. They scored 2 points. Chelsea Football Club scored more points that week than they did, and it's soccer. Then who was next? The Packers. The Packers, who they destroyed. Then the Niners, who they beat in overtime because the same dude who's sitting down couldn't get the ball over the 50-yard line to save his life. Then they handled the Patriots. So I don't think you can really say that they weren't a dominant team. Maybe not a regular season team, but they dominated when it counted.
Here's what I would say. I would ask Josh this. When was the last dominant team to win the Super Bowl? Oh, you mean a 9-7 Packers?
They were dominant.
Well, you do not dominate anybody at 9-7. Like, why are the Packers dominant at 9-7, but the Giants aren't dominant at 9-7?
Because they beat the Niners.
Because the funny thing is, last year the Packers were 15-1. That team dominated everybody, and then 12-game.
But like the Giants can't ever hang their hats on beating the Niners. I mean, I think that's a very safe bet to say.
No, they hang their hat on. Listen, I'm not a Giants fan. They hang their hat on that we won the Super Bowl. That's what they hang their hat on. Twice.
I have nothing to say about that. I still hate the Giants.
As well you should.
That's fine.
Now, I'm going to tell you, you know what's funny? I think that the Redskins... Part of me had this small feeling that the Redskins are gonna get killed next week.
They play the Ravens, right?
They do play the Ravens. Now, listen, my team doesn't kill anybody except the Raiders, and they stink. And the Redskins don't stink. But I really, I know a lot of people that live in D.C. I know a lot of Redskins fans. And I feel like, and Street, you correct me if I'm wrong, and Jackson, you do the same. I feel like these dudes feel like they won their Super Bowl Monday night. Like, that was their Super Bowl. Oh, we beat the Giants. We're 6-6. We're one game behind them, yada, yada, yada. And I can just see them losing 34-14, and then it's going to be same old sorry-ass Redskins.
No, you're spot on about that. I think that the Redskins fans, at the beginning of the season, they think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but after that, they settle into their moral victories, and they're like, if we can beat the Giants and the Cowboys, then our season is a success. Because if the Giants win the Super Bowl this year, the Redskins fans can still say, but we beat you.
And the Giants fans will say,
so what?
So, now, yes, you did. Yes, now, you did.
Now, moving on to the Ravens.
That's how the fans are, though. That's just how they are.
Agreed. Now, moving on to the Ravens, and I guess because of what happened, I guess this will be the installment of You're on the Podcast.
What?
You're on the Podcast.
Why?
The haters call. Because we managed to lose to a third-string quarterback at home, and we have not lost at home since 2010. It's amazing. It's, you know, I'll say this. We go up 20 to 13. Ray Rice runs has a 31-yard run. We go up 20 to 13. I'm actually at home Tavern. There's a couple of Ravens fans there. There's a couple of Steelers fans there. You know, we're happy, whatever. And I remember telling Vlad Joe McFly, a.k.a. Mr. Get It On Jones, a.k.a. Allie. And I said, Allie, these dudes cannot get to 20 points. The only way they can get to 20 points is if we give up a big special teams play or if we turn the ball over. And literally what happens three downs later? Strip sack, fumble, turn the ball over. They score. We don't get the ball. We do nothing. We punt. Charlie Batch is on his 15-yard line and literally drives the length. I just feel like I listened to Mike Lombardi today on the Bill Simmons on the PS report, and he said something that made sense to me. Like the Ravens when they play. The Patriots, they're like, all right, we need to score a point. So we're going to open up a little bit more. We're going to take the ball downfield. We're going to take more shots. When they play the Broncos in 2 weeks. They're going to be like, we're going to need to score points. But when they play the Steelers, there it's like this, oh, we have to play like this. We have to play physical. We're not going to score many points. We got to, like, and they buy into, like, we can't do these things. And it's just, it's disappointing. I mean, I don't know if y'all saw the game, but how do you lose a third-string quarterback at home?
I think that's a good question to answer.
All right.
Charlie Batch, man, he's
looking like
out there looking like one of the Delphonics out there.
This dude, like, they won the game. This dude is bawling. And I'm watching him ball. I'm like, you know why he's crying? Because he knew, one, that's the last game he'll ever start in his life, and two, he should have won the game.
I don't know, man. It's just funny. Like, that's probably going to be, like, one of the trademark wins in Charlie Badge's career. I still remember when he was in Detroit, you know?
Like, dude, like, literally, I'm listening to Chris Carter saying, like, listen, Charlie Batch, I remember he was in Detroit, and we was like, yo, he's not good. He has no arm. But the funny thing is, like, I'm reading all the people online talking about the Ravens are lucky, they're not that good, like, they're the luckiest 9-3 team I've ever seen. And they fail to realize, one, our best defensive player didn't step on the field until week seven. Didn't step on the field week seven. The week before that, we lost the heart and soul of our defense. Now, granted, Ray Lewis is alive in the past defense, but he's still Ray Lewis. And we lost our best corner, Darius Webb, who tore the ACL dump for the year. Our number one draft pick, corner last year, who, granted, isn't great, he's been out for a while. Now, freaking Terrell Suggs tore his bicep, and he's out. He's trying to get a second opinion so he can play. Ray Lewis at 37 years old trying to come back from a 4-month injury in 2 months. Like, the Ravens have found ways to win games. And we're not, obviously, it's 4-29. Like, there's just something. I don't want to, like, I know we put a level of competition, but I mean, whatever. I don't want to talk about them no more.
I talk about Flacco, man. What's going on with
You know what? I'll say this.
That guy, man.
You know what? I'll say this.
Flacco?
I've been a big supporter of Joe Flacco, obviously. I have his jersey, like, hanging in my closet. Like, I do. At some point, I believe you can win a Joe Flacco. I believe you can. And, like I said, and listen, everyone knows. If Lee Evans holds on to the ball in the end zone, the whole narrative is different. But at some point, you can't make the Mark Sanchez mistake anymore. Like that strip fumble is 3rd and 5. Like, like you can throw incomplete pass, that's fine. You can try and run the ball yourself, that's fine. You can throw a dump off and get tackled, that's fine. You can get sacked, that's fine. The one thing that can happen there is the strip fumble. In your own red zone. And at some point, those things have to stop. Like, and maybe part of it is the play calling and literally, like, Cam Cameron, you know how I feel about him, but that has to stop. That has to stop. Because at this point, oh, and shout out to Cam Cameron for Ray Rice only getting 12 carries. That we appreciate it. Really appreciate it. So I've had enough about football. We'll move on. We're gonna try and wrap this up soon. And I literally just found out about this 2 hours ago. So I'm gonna throw this out to y'all. The New Orleans Hornets plan to change their name to the New Orleans Pelicans. Streets, go.
In all of my time as a sports fan, I've heard some dumb, idiotic, stupid names for teams. This by far takes the cake. I had to hit up people that I knew from New Orleans and ask them if there's actually Pelicans in New Orleans, because I never saw them. And then I come to find out that's the state bird of Louisiana, so whatever. And I guess Pelicans would be in the Gulf. It makes sense. But dog, that's like and what's even crazy, I was thinking, that sounds like a minor league baseball team. There was a minor league baseball team in New Orleans called the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And they're defunct now.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things you could call a team in New Orleans, you're going to name them after a fucking pelican? Have you ever seen a pelican? The pelican is the most stupid-looking bird in the world. It looks like the pelican looks like a herb. I can't even type pelican fans on Twitter. I don't feel right. Like, I can't even antagonize them. What are they going to be, Pelican Nation? Somebody said on Twitter their initial is going to be NOP, like, nope. Yo, I was crying. I was like, yo, they're going to be nope. Like, this is ridiculous, man. I'm all for my boy Fox said, Fox Files on Twitter, there should be franchise name realignment, dog. Utah needs to give New Orleans the Jazz back.
They do.
The Hornets, the New Orleans needs to give Charlotte the Hornets back. Utah can call themselves whatever they want, because nobody other than Utah is really going to care. They can call themselves the Mormons. I think I heard their state animal or whatever is like a bee or some shit. Let them be the Yellow Jackets. Let them be the Slopes. They do mad skiing out there. They should be the Rockies or something. And bring back the Sonics while you're at it. Because this is just like the Pelicans. Nobody is hyped about that.
Okay, here's what I'll say. Like, literally, if you want, like, and to our audience, if you want to laugh, go to Twitter and just search for Pelicans. Like, the slander is on 100,000 trolls. The only thing I'll say is that I remember when Brooklyn was thick, well, when they, about a year ago, and a report leaked out that the names Brooklyn Americans and Brooklyn New Yorkers had been trademarked, and somehow like a Brooklyn New Yorkers logo had leaked out, and the slander on Twitter that day was ridiculous. And I fully believe that they wanted to change the name from Brooklyn Nets from Nets to something, but they're like, you know what? Let's just keep the Nets. Like, this can't work. You can't. I'm literally reading, like, for example, Live for Ball says the New Orleans Pelicans has to be the gayest franchise name in sports history. Now we don't necessarily support you know, people saying things are gay. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but. I mean, there's a couple of people in there that are saying, like this guy, the Pelicans is an awesome name for an NBA team, and I want a New Orleans Pelicans shirt real bad, but Pelicans is a terrible name.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes, you can.
That guy owns that team. He can call that team whatever he wants to, and honestly, if his wife wants to call that team the Pelicans, let them be called the Pelicans. We all know, like, nobody wants to play for the New Orleans Hornets right now. Nobody will want to play for the New Orleans Pelicans. They're getting contracted in the next 3 to 5 years.
They're not going anywhere.
Tom Benson owns them.
They're not going anywhere. Like, they should have been contracted. They're not going anywhere. David, put it on the board?
Put it on the board.
First of all, you still owe me booze from the board from, like, first of all, you owe me booze from like years ago, so you get no board bets. Like, that gets paid off.
Sheesh.
I'm gonna look it up an email. But they're not gonna get the league owned the team because the league didn't even want someone to move them. Like, there were plenty of guys that wanted to buy the team, and they were like, no. But like, yeah, we'll move them to Ann Arbor or whatever, but this.
I don't think that city can afford a new stadium. I don't think that city can afford that team.
I agree with you. I wholly agree with you. Like, New Orleans should not own an, like, I don't think New Orleans can support an NBA franchise at this point. But, you know,
first of all, nobody in New Orleans cares about basketball.
Not enough.
They were cool when they didn't have a sport, a basketball franchise. That's a football town, man.
That is a football town.
That's a super football town. I won't say nobody cares. Nobody cares enough to put an NBA franchise there, and it thrives. Like, even people I know from New Orleans, like, yeah, it's like superfluous. You know what I mean? It's extra shit. But they should just, you know what? Master P did not create Bout It for this to happen, yo. He did not give us one of the greatest DVD rap flicks of all time for them to be called some fucking Pelicans. They should be called I swear, if they were called like the New Orleans Soldiers, and their logo was like the No Limit Tank, dog, I would be 100%, 100,000% for that shit. And then their fight song would be Make Them Say something like that. Remember the video with them in the basketball gym? Yo, I'd be 100%.
I just remember that stupid video of like a mystical and Silk the Shocker dunking on like a 8-foot rim.
One of the greatest videos in our lifetime, yo.
And a gold tank.
Has to be a gold tank in the arena at all times. But yeah, that Pelican. I couldn't even bring myself to read the article. Why do they want to change it to the Pelicans?
So the Pelicans. All right. So the pelican is a state bird of Louisiana, and there actually used to be. It's funny you say that, because there actually used to be a minor league baseball team in New Orleans called the Pelicans from like 1887 to like 1959, or from like 1979 to whatever. and they went under at 79. And Benson, Boogie Benson, owns the rights to the name Pelicans. So, like how Jackson said, his wife that has apparently suggested it should be Pelicans. But, the backlash to this, that's just, it's dumb. Like, put it this way, I don't like the name. I thought the name Thunder for OKC was corny, but that has nothing on this. Nothing.
I hear you, but Thunder is a powerful name. Whether you think it's like, I feel it's to each his own, but when I heard they were being called the Thunder, it kind of made sense that a Midwest team would be named after some type of natural disaster. Like, even if they were called, like, the Cyclones or some shit like that, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. We all know it. Like, Thunder makes sense. And at least Thunder is it's powerful enough as a logo and as a name that...
See, I think the logo is terrible.
You're right.
But, like, let's think about it logically. What are we going to call it? Like, the New Orleans Hurricanes?
Someone actually said that, and I was like, you can't do that.
But you can't do it. But you can't call them the New Orleans Disasters. You can't call them the New Orleans Ninth Ward.
You can't do anything. You can call them the New Orleans a lot of things. And like,
you can call them the Hornets.
Why can't they be the Hornets? Just be the
Hornets. The Hornets in New Orleans.
Huh?
It ain't no Hornets in New Orleans.
Ain't no Jazz in Utah. Ain't no Bobcats in Charlotte. Ain't no Lakes in L.A. Like, listen, ain't no Grizzlies in Memphis. Like, no, I think they're talking about changing the Grizzlies' names. Like, there's something with the Grizzlies. That's it.
I take a page from 315 Nest. Who said that? Like, who was bringing up the Lakers? Like, let's not talk about the Lakers tonight.
Actually, we have 3 minutes. Let's talk about the Lakers. So, y'all got more head assistant coaches than wins. What's going on?
The Lakers stink.
Oh, man.
So, y'all not getting the 70 this year?
Nah, I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing with the Lakers, right?
You're trying to find a way to get them to 70.
Will they make the playoffs? I think they'll make the playoffs. But honestly, what pisses me off right now at the current moment is like, D'Antoni, don't come in here and start talking about Antoine Jameson Fisher's system better than Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol has 2 championships. How many rings does D'Antoni have? How many rings does Steve Nash have? Sit your ass down. Sit your ass all the way down. I took a page from Kendrick Lamar and Peer Pressure and that interlude. Sit your ass all the way back down. Like, seriously. Come on, man. You got to find a way to use Pau Gasol in that system. And if you can't, then your system is flawed.
Well, okay, well...
But
according
to William H. Strafe, the coach is never the problem. But I'm sleep.
I didn't say the coach never the problem. No, what I'm saying. Okay, put it this way. Let's stop. In the triangle has no use for a great point guard. So you're telling me if Phil Jackson came back, it had no use for Steve Nash? You would say, let's say they hired Kurt Rambis, who ran the triangle. Like, well, my point is, if Gasol don't fit his system, he don't fit his system. Period. Now, I'm not saying that Gasol's whack should be thrown to the wayside. The problem is, when y'all traded for Dwight, you've hitched your wagon to Dwight. So if you gotta choose someone to please between Dwight and Powell. You're going to pick Dwight. Period.
I just don't think that. I think that Phil Jackson would adapt it to the players. And I think he's always adapted to the players. I think that when Phil Jackson had the problem with Kukoc, he found a way to make Kukoc contribute to the cause. You know, and Kukoc was a pretty good player in that system. You know, those last 2 years, he found a way to be like, all right, well, you don't fit into the triangle, but we're going to make you fit, right? And I think Phil Jackson could have did that. I think D'Antoni can do that, but I think what it's going to take a lot of people being like, hey, dude, like, that guy won 2 championship rings with this team. Don't try to alienate him. And honestly, Jim, let's ride everybody under the bus.
Do not defend Jim Buss.
Huh?
Do not defend Jimmy Buss.
I'm not defending Jim Buss. He's driving everyone under his bus.
The problem isn't that Gasol doesn't fit D'Antoni's system, because he actually does. The problem is you got 2 big men. And we know that the Lakers are going to do everything to keep Dwight. So Dwight gets to run the pick and rolls, not Powell. So Powell has to stand on the perimeter. That's the problem. And if D'Antoni decides, well, fuck Dwight, I'm just going to run a Powell day, he's not going to have a job by freaking Martin Luther King's birthday. So therein lies the problem. Like, honestly, y'all didn't need to trade for Dwight Howard. You didn't need to. Did not need to.
You did, because life after Kobe has to happen. And understand this, and Sean, you've known this since maybe 8 years ago. I'm a Lakers fan before I'm a Kobe fan, and life after Kobe has to start now. And centering that around a big man who can be dominant makes sense. Now, I don't appreciate the fact that Dwight Howard shoots 45% from the free. He doesn't even shoot 45%. I hate those numbers. He shoots like 20% when the fire's on. But however, you have to come up with a plan that works after Kobe. And that's not going to be a shooting guard. That's going to be a big man. And so Dwight Howard was the best big man available. There's no big man in the game that you can say, I'd rather have him over Dwight Howard.
I agree, but then again, I mean, you don't know who exists in 3 years. Like, I mean, I understand, but at the same time, well, then you know what you should have done? You should have shipped Powell away. You should have traded Powell.
We tried, it didn't work.
Well, you should have tried it again.
And again and again.
I think the Lakers were greedy. Like, we want to get Dwight and we can keep Powell. All right, like, that's good. Okay. I mean, that's fine. I made a great trade, but now you have 2 guys, and like I said, now you're bringing a guy who has a system where, all right, well, I do, like, all right, and F you, Streets, because I've defended D'Antoni in New York. My only point is this. I'm not saying D'Antoni's system works and it's perfect and it's the greatest thing ever. However, if you see a coach and you know that's what he runs, let him run it. Like, if you're going to hire him, let him do what he does. Period. You don't hire Mike McCarthy and tell him to run the ball 42 times. Like, no, we throw the ball around. You don't hire Andy Reid and say, let's run the ball 42 times. Like, you throw the ball around. Any last words? We have like a minute left.
Next show, we're going to discuss how this A-Rod situation is working out.
Doesn't matter. The A-Rod situation is stupid, but we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that. Streets, any last words?
No, not really. Happy Founders Day, guys.
Happy Founders Day to the men of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. That includes myself and the men on the phone. 106 years. I mean, by the time you hear this, December 4th already passed, but... You know, first of all, servants of all, we shall transcend all.
And you're welcome.
And
by
you're,
the way,
and you're welcome.
Black Greeks, you're welcome.
And you're welcome. next, we're trying to film a podcast. The next podcast, trying to get another one this week. Myself and Midtown Mo, we're going to discuss Homeland. And basically, we're going to tell you that this show is going off the deep end. Like, you wouldn't believe it. Streets, I know you haven't caught up. this show is going off the deep end.
So I love that. Good.
Sorry. So for myself, Streets, and for Dr. J, I am William H. Draft, and this is it.